Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 11th, to welcome two guests to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Fallon and Chris Farley. Fallon grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist and Chris has worshiped with us since he was in college and recently, in fact, January 1st of this year, they were married. Fallon and Chris, thank you for joining the podcast today. We look forward to a time at the end where we talk about things of life and faith.
Thank you for having us, Mary. We're really excited to be here and to just open the Lord's Word with you. Today, I'm going to be reading from Exodus 1, and I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. So Exodus 1:1. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his household: Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the descendants of Jacob were 17 persons. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves, and made their lives bitter with hard service, in mortar and brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and let the male children live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." And now I'm going to read from Psalm 80, titled, "Restore Us, O God." To the choir master according to Lilies, a testimony of Asaph, a psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, have regard for this vine, the stalk that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire, they have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
And now for our New Testament reading, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
Thank you so much, Fallon and Chris, for joining the podcast today. You bring so much joy to my life, and I'm looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about you. First, I want to hear a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and then kind of how you made your way to Mount Brook Baptist.
Sure. Thank you for having us, Mary. I really appreciate it. I grew up in Morris, Alabama, and my parents still live there, the same house for 20-some-odd years. It's been a great place to grow up. Did all of my learning in Birmingham. My undergraduate degree was there. And then moved off to New York City for a short time. And COVID brought me back. And so here I am to stay.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, Fallon, you grew up at Mount Brook Baptist,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, my grandparents have been members here since my dad was really little when they moved to Alabama. And so when my parents got married, I was born and then started coming to Mountain Brook Baptist because my grandparents were here. And I was also in the ELC program. So I have literally grown up in Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And so it's good being back. And now I'm like where I was poured into the church and still am poured into. Now I get to be on staff and serve the students.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about that. What do you do on staff at Mount Brook Baptist?
So I am the female youth intern, or student ministry intern, and I just am a part of the student ministry team, and I just love on and serve the students.
You mentioned coming back here. Tell us a little bit about your college experience and what you're doing now.
So I actually left the state of Alabama for college. I decided to go to Ouachita Baptist University in Arkansas, where I double majored in Christian studies and philosophy, graduated in 4 years, actually graduated last May, and then I started seminary, and so now I'm at Beeson. I'm in my first semester of Beeson, and that's why I'm back here.
Chris, you are also in school. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I go back in the fall to start my doctoral degree, which is very exciting for me. I've always wanted to be Dr. Chris Farley, but don't have a heart attack around me because it's a music degree. So I'm not Leland Allen, that's for sure.
Many of you will recognize Chris as the one who sings "O Holy Night" for us sometimes on Christmas Eve.
It's my calling card.
Or different things. Tell us how you became interested in singing and even are going to pursue a doctoral degree in music.
It all started for me my senior year of high school, which my choir director, who was there at Mortimer Jordan High School, pulled me aside and said, I need men in this concert choir. And this is the auditioned group, and everyone in there reads music. And I know you don't read music, but I will teach you. So she put me under her wing and brought me in and said, you're going to know how to read music by the end of this, and you're going to sing in college, and you're going to be great. And I thought, okay, cool. That's fine. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. And after 2 weeks of being in that concert choir, I was like, music is everything. I don't want to do anything else. Oh my gosh. And so I got to college at UAB and started as a business major, telling myself, oh, I'll start a guitar store, blah, 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 do something that's, you know, music related, but not music specifically. And our first summer, we took a trip to Europe with the concert choir at UAB and competed in the World Choir Games. And I thought, well, a business degree is not going to take me here. It's not going to take me to 5 different countries in Europe for the summer. So I'm going to go back and be a music major. And so I went back and I changed my major to music. And from that point on, Dr. Juan Cho, my voice teacher, poured into me like no other. There was,
yeah.
I mean, we did a lesson completely in the dark with the flashlights on our iPhones one time. It was, we were so determined to get to that next step on every artistic level that he showed me everything that I knew up to that point and helped me get into grad schools and do all of those things. So when it was time to apply, he said, Chris, I think you should shoot high, you know, aim high. You're pretty good at this. He didn't pump me up or anything. He said pretty good.
Pretty
he didn't
good.
Say really good. Good. He didn't say you're the best. He said, you're pretty good at this. So you should go and apply to these schools and just, you know, maybe something happens that's golden. And then something golden did happen and I got it into the Manus School of Music. And so I went, oh my gosh, this is amazing. One of the top conservatories in the country wants me. Me from Morris. So I went there and then COVID happened. And I think I got the last plane back from New York City to Birmingham because they stopped us on the runway and said, well, we're going to have to come back into the terminal. And I thought, well, I paid my money. I'm getting back to Birmingham. So came back to Birmingham and have been a freelance singer and working with the local opera companies and local churches ever since. And so from that point, it seemed like the natural progression with Fallon in school that I shouldn't spend the next time that we're in here in Birmingham, you know, away from the academic world. I've always wanted to be Dr. Chris Farley, like I told you earlier. I mean, I think it's been a lifelong pursuit of mine. Did I think I would do it right now? No, but the Lord provided a way that I would be able to go to school and, you know, be taken care of on that end. And now I get to do, you know, the thing that I'm most passionate about for another 3 years. And then by the time we're done, we're done. No more higher education for this boy.
I want to hear a little bit about your love story. How did you become friends? And then how, we know that you got married just in January.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your love story.
Well, so I was still in high school, and Chris was in college when we met. I was in the student ministry chapel choir, and I think it was my junior year? Did you say
junior or senior year? It's one of those two.
That I actually got to know Chris, and throughout college, like, we just, anytime we were home, we would get together and catch up, but apart from that, we didn't really, like, communicate with each other or weren't really talking that much. So the summer before my senior year, after Chris and I had both been sent home, him from New York and me from Arkansas, because of COVID, we both started working at Summer Days, and we ended up going to Greenwise to get coffee and to do our, like, regular life dump, our good catch up, and I think that was the first time we both left one of those, like, meetings where we were like, okay, there's something different about this relationship.
There was definitely something
different.
Yeah. In that meeting in a grocery store.
Yeah.
And so how long was it before you got engaged?
Oh.
It was about a year.
Yeah.
Because we took about a month to before we even labeled it dating.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we started dating, we went to John Marcos for our first date,
yeah,
which was probably June. And then by...
No, July.
July. And then May of... the next year, I think we were engaged because you just graduated from Wichita.
Yeah.
And what was your wedding date?
So originally our wedding date was December 30th, but then I got COVID. And so we had to push it back to January 1st because I know Dr. Splann was also supposed to be officiating our wedding. And then, you know, your family had gotten COVID. And
I can only imagine how stressful that was for you, Fallon. But something you said in that season was so instructive to me. Talk to us a little bit about what the Lord taught you when you had to move your wedding and you were thinking about all the details.
Because I also trying to reschedule the wedding and do all of that while having COVID and not feeling well. It was just a lot. But I remember just being, I was like, Lord, like, what matters most is that I get to marry this man and that we bring you glory through our union together. Like, the details of, like, all of the extra fluff of the wedding, like, that's all fleeting and not necessary in any way. But what was so special was that we still got to glorify the Lord and let our ceremony, our uniting, be just the most important, like the main focus of that season. Just becoming one with each other and learning from there, start like glorifying the Lord through our union, but then setting it up to where we continue to glorify Him in our unions.
I have so many questions, but I want to know about some of your hobbies and interests. I know, obviously, singing is one for you, Chris, but what are some other of your hobbies?
I love to golf. Fallon's dad got me into frisbee golf, which is a great way to get some steps in.
Yeah.
Because normally when I'm golfing, I'm in a cart because I'm lazy. I also love fishing. It's great. I love that hobby.
What about you, Fallon?
I always struggled with this question growing up because I didn't have, like, golf or fishing or like I played sports and loved those, but my hobby is just people. Like I like anytime I had free time, it would be with another friend or family member. Like I just wanted to spend time with people. So I finally came to terms with being okay with saying my hobby is just people, like wanting to be with them and to enjoy time together and new experiences together. So
Fallon, mentioning that is quite special because we're talking a lot about connecting with one another in this season as we're all excited about what is to come with our church. I just want to ask you about how important it is and how you've seen it, maybe even in the youth, how important it is for different people in the body to reach out to one another.
Yeah, I remember like whenever we were preparing for our wedding service with Wayne, like Chris and I stressed to Dr. Spawn that we want people to help, I mean, to surround us, to be a community for us. Like being two newlyweds, like we want older generations to invest in us and to give us wisdom and to pour into us because we want to then in turn do that for younger generations, and we just think that it really is important to have all aspects of the community loving one another and supporting one another, and so we want other church members to hold us accountable to not only our vow to each other, but our vow to the Lord as followers of Christ, and how Chris and I, being one, can do that together now, and so.
Such a great reminder. Yeah. So if you'd like to get connected with Chris and Fallon, I can definitely share their details with you. Fallon, since you grew up in the church, and Chris, since you've been here since you were in college, I wanted to ask you, what are some of your favorite services? Like a special season of the year? Or do you have a special service that you really love?
Oh, I love Easter Sunday. But who doesn't love Easter Sunday?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's... when those little flags that we hang off the lecterns go white, it just lifts my whole spirit.
Okay. What about you, Fallon?
I just always loved our Christmas Eve service. It was a beautiful reminder of the Lord's, not only Advent, like in Jesus' first coming, but that he is to come again. We are in just that beautiful waiting period for him to come again. I mean, that's our hope. Is that he's coming. We just need to be expectant and ready for him. So
That's beautiful.
Thank you again for joining the podcast. We thank you for the reminder that both of you gave us about the hope of resurrection. And so, Chris, as we close, would you end our time with prayer?
Absolutely. Almighty and everlasting God, it is our joy to come before you and read your word. And spend this time in fellowship with another believer. I feel so fortunate that my wife is such a strong presence for me spiritually. I pray that as you listen to this podcast, you feel surrounded by the Holy Spirit as if it were a warm blanket. I pray that you take these words that we've read today and you hide them in your heart. And I pray that throughout this week, throughout this weekend, that everything that you do and everything that I do is in the glory and for the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.